Om Shanti. Did you like the Sanskrit gudgeons, the song? You wouldn't think that's sung by a German woman, would you? She's one of the most well-regarded Sanskrit singers in the world, Dev Premal. And very appropriate to warmly welcome our sister Shilu. Shilu Ben, please. Shilu Ben is one of our most experienced teachers. She's been in this knowledge originally from Bombay before it became Mumbai, and came into this knowledge with her family and quickly rose up the skills rank and has been resident in Madhuban for how long have you been here, Shilu Ben?
48 years.
How long?
48.
48 years, just an apprentice. 48 years. So, and Shilu Ben's her English, she's often asked to translate very complex Hindi-based classes, and she does that as if she's having a cup of tea. And all the Westerners are very fond of her. She's part of our experience of coming here. And every year for many, many years she's been involved in Peace of Mind, and we're delighted that she's able to be here. She's just come back from a tour to Europe, Spain, Portugal and other parts of Europe. And so without further ado, welcome Shilu Ben. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. For the past 2 days, you heard a number of classes from Sister Shivani, and I'm sure by now you have understood the concept of what is being taught here. Let us revise what you have heard. I'll ask you 3 questions, and only one of them is the right answer. So you have to say which is the right answer. The first question is, I have a soul in me. I have a soul in me. The second question is, I have a soul in my body. I have a soul in my body. The first was, I have a soul in me, and I have a soul in my body. And the third is, I am a soul in my body. Which is the right answer? I am. So you have learned this lesson very well. I am a soul in my body. Because if I say I have a soul in me, that means I am the body and I have a soul in me. I have a soul in my body, that means I'm neither a soul nor a body, but I am something third person, and I have a soul in my body. But when I say I am a soul in my body, I accept myself to be a soul, and I am the master of my senses. I work through these senses. These senses are subservient to me. I order them what they should do. With my 3 assistants, who are my 3 assistants? My mind, my intellect, and my personality traits. the mind thinks, the intellect decides or visualizes, and then I act through the body, the senses, and then those actions become my sanskars or my personality traits, which then become my habits, become my behavior, and so on. So when I have understood this, that I am a soul in my body, and I see everyone as a soul in their body. Not only I am a soul, but everyone is a soul in its body. And the soul is seated here between the two eyebrows in the center of the forehead. So I see everyone as a sparkling star at the center of its forehead, the body's forehead. And this is being called soul consciousness. So my topic today is how karma and soul consciousness apply in daily life. That's the subject. Many people, they question, when I say this, I am a soul and I'm seated here and I'm the master of my senses and I see everyone as a soul sitting in his forehead, then they question, sister, it's so difficult to do this because we have been body conscious for so long. We see ourselves as this body, 6 feet tall body, 70, 80 kilograms body. So much this body needs. And I'm so conscious of this body. I just cannot think in a different way that I'm different from this body. But then you were told how this body is your costume. And it's not just this one costume, you have put on many costumes, but you are not aware. And you have changed those costumes. And therefore, this costume is at the present time, but past it was not, in the future it will not be. So this consciousness is very important. And if I am really conscious of this, then I will be able to rise above any type of physical attractions and pulls. Because everything becomes transitory. Everything becomes, you know, always in motion. Everything is in motion anyway in nature. Even this body is transitory, is always in motion, always moving. Every particle is moving. I can say this wall is stationary, but it's not. There's a change, every second a change. Similarly, every second a change in the body. But I am eternal. I am immortal. I am imperishable. I was never born and I will never die. I am indivisible. I cannot be divided. This body can be divided, you know, it can be cut into pieces. But not I. And I am invisible. Many people question if I'm a soul, and when someone dies, the soul leaves the body, then why can't we see the soul? This is a question. Why can't we see the soul? Actually, the answer is very simple. Why we can't see the soul? We can see the dead body. But why can't we see the soul which just left the body? Because these eyes are physical. These physical eyes can see only physical things. It cannot see spiritual things. It cannot even see physical energy. Now this, I'm speaking, this is sound energy coming into your ears and you're able to listen. But you can't see sound, can you? But you can only feel, you can measure. But soul is so unique, you can't even measure in the sense, the mind. If you ask any neurologist, where is the situation, where is the mind situated in the body, in the brain? Where is the location? He cannot say. You know, say hypothalamus, thalamus, pituitary gland, pineal gland, all these, you know, different parts of the brain. But where is the mind situated? Because mind is part of the soul. Intellect is part of the soul. Intelligence is different from intellect. Intelligence is the grey matter, you know, in the brain. If somebody is very intelligent, the IQ is very high. But intellect, what we call is wisdom, in which you visualize, that is the soul. And then not just that, but then you carry forward the actions you do in this life and they accompany you. When a child is born, it is said this child has brought its fortune. It has brought its fortune. And when a person dies, it is said he has taken his karma. So we understand soul consciousness in this way. The other day we were listening to godly versions and how Shiv Baba in the body of Brahma Baba, how he spoke such a wonderful thing that some people complain that I can't see the soul so tiny, I see something gross only, I see something only big in size. So Baba said, well, if you see a big thing, you see the body, then see that soul in an angelic body. In an angelic body, an angel. Angel also has the shape of a human body, but in light form. So see that one in light form. An angel with a star sparkling at the center of the forehead. Then there won't be any physical attraction. There won't be even hatred against that person because the soul, you see it in its original nature, as you were told, the seven innate qualities of the soul, purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss, power, and wisdom. Knowledge. So every soul is an embodiment of these qualities, which we don't have to get from outside, but the soul is an embodiment of them. And therefore, what is meditation? Vivekananda very rightly said, he said, what is meditation? He said, meditation is the manifestation of perfection within. Each one is perfect, a perfect soul with all these seven innate qualities. And to manifest that, to bring that into action, is meditation. Just like you have a seed and you sow that seed in the soil and then you water that seed. So what will happen? That seed which had its energy, latent energy in it, when you water it, it sprouts and that energy is released in the form of sprout. So that latent energy or dormant energy is then released. Similarly, when I'm aware that I'm a soul and I have all these qualities and the other one is also a soul having the same qualities, the innate nature of both of us is the same, then there is so much of spiritual love and respect for each other. No matter, you know, how many defects that person may have, but his original nature is truly perfect. Now, this we have to apply in practical life with karma. So you have been told a lot about karma too by Sister Shivani. Let us recap everything. What is karma? Karma is not merely actions. Actually it comes from karma is a Sanskrit word. And the literal meaning of it could be any type of action. It's a verb. To see, to sit, to eat, to drink, to sleep, to walk, that's karma. But then it's not so simple. Karma is not merely what I do, but karma is not just an action, but it is also the reaction. Action and reaction. According to science, Newton's third law of motion, I'm a science student, so I compare it with that. According to Newton's third law of motion, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And you saw this example, you must have seen the art gallery in Gyan Sarovar. There are 5 balls hanging and you just take one ball and throw it hard on the other balls. And the amount of energy you have used in throwing that ball, that same will go to the last ball and that ball will come out with that same energy and then come back and then hit the other balls and then the first ball is affected and then it can go on and on and on until someone stops it. So we understand action in this way. So action and reaction go together, equal and opposite. Whatever I do, I get back. And therefore it is very rightly said, do unto others as you wish others to do unto you. What you want for yourself, you do that to others first. If you want love, then you have to give love. But don't say, I want love. You have it. It is there in you. Every soul is an embodiment of love. So we should never say, oh, nobody loves me. Instead, I should say, if I give love, others will love me. Not that no one loves me. Don't ask for it. Give it. And see how love will come back to you. Somebody should make me happy. No one will make you happy, because if you have many desires, however much someone tries to make you happy, you will not be happy. You get one thing, okay, happy, then another thing you want, and then, okay, happy, but happiness will never come. But I'm happy, and with that happiness I do everything, because I am an embodiment of happiness. So this is how we understand karma. I will get back what I give. If I give sorrow, I will get back sorrow. If I give happiness, I will get back happiness. But then sometimes doesn't work in this way all the time, actually. You know, many people say, I give so much happiness to this person, but then I always get sorrow from that person. Now, why does that person give me sorrow? So I have to recap. There must be a time when I did give sorrow, but I don't remember. Maybe not in this costume. and now I'm getting back. That is one way of satisfying yourself. And it's very true. And the other thing is, well, however much he may say something wrong to you, bad to you, and you take the sorrow of that, why do you take it? Nobody can force you to take anything. If I give something to you and you don't want it, you'll say, sorry, I don't want. I can't force you to take it. You know, there's a very interesting example of Mahatma Buddha. Once Buddha went to a place and that there was a person there who started abusing Mahatma Buddha. And Mahatma Buddha just kept so quiet, he didn't answer back. He didn't react. And that person was abusing and abusing. And after abusing for over half an hour or so, how long could he abuse for? He kept quiet and then Mahatma Buddha asked him, can I ask you a question? If you try to give something to someone, but that someone doesn't take it, then with whom will that thing remain? And that person got more angry. He said, what a silly question. Of course it will remain with that same person who was trying to give. And Mahatma Buddha said, this is what I wish to tell you. That whatever you gave me for half an hour, I did not take. So why should I take the sorrow? I'm not forced to take sorrow. It's up to me. And therefore we should not blame anybody else. First of all, I should not blame because it's what I have already done, I'm getting it back. And secondly, I should not blame anyone else but myself, that why did I take it? I took it, this is why I experienced sorrow. Nobody can force me to take it. Therefore, when we understand karma in this way, we understand how also to change. And Sister Shivani spoke very well about past, present and future. I have full control over my present, maybe not my past. And therefore many people say, past is history, forget it. You know, there's a saying, past is history, forget it. Future is a mystery. Therefore forget that too, because you don't know. So future is a mystery and past is history. But live in the present, because that is a gift. Present means gift. No, a gift, you call that present. So make the best use of the present. But it's not so simple like that too. How can we forget history? How can we forget history? Now when we remember the history of Bharat, India, how many countries they attacked India, you know. But we learnt a lesson from that. We learnt a lesson that no one can attack our country again. That's why we increase our military force. So we learn from the past. And therefore we don't say that past is history, forget it, but we have to learn from the past. But because that past has affected the present, India was such a rich country, but then it was looted, we say looted by the foreigners. So much gold and diamonds was stolen from here. But then we learn now that nothing, now it should not happen again. So from the past we learned a lesson that we should not repeat the same in the present. Because that past has its impact on the present. And be so careful in the present, because that present will make your future. That present will make your future. So what type of future do you want? Accordingly, make your present. And therefore they are beautiful sayings, because actions are also not just, you know, actions on their own. Action is not the first step. Before that, the first step is the thoughts. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to attitude. Attitude then leads to words. Words lead to actions. Actions lead to behavior. That behavior leads to your personality. And that personality ultimately decides your future. And that is your destiny. So how do I want my destiny to be? It will all depend on your thoughts. What is my thinking like? And therefore, this is the process. So my present will affect my future, my destiny. And therefore, present is the true gift in my hand. And this I can change. It's up to me. And therefore, how karma and soul consciousness can act hand in hand. Before doing anything, they say think. They say look before you leap. Think before you act. But very often we don't think in this way. We just act spontaneously, ex tempo, just act. Immediately act without thinking what the consequences will be if I act in this way. And that is all because of body consciousness. It is all because of ego. I am something. And that ego, we define E-G-O, ego, edging God out. You have forgotten God. Edging God out. Because you think you are the master. And that is why our sages and saints said, God is watching you. God is watching you. So a thought comes, what action am I going to do? God is watching me. And when I think in this way, I don't act spontaneously. I think. Because the soul has the mind, the intellect and the sanskars. So mind does the work of thinking, but intellect does the work of judging, of deciding. So first think, then decide of its consequences. And if you think that it is right and the consequences will be good, okay, then act. But what we usually do because of ego, we act and then we realize it was not right. And when we realize it was not right, then we want to correct it. We say, now what I should do so that I should be able to correct it. I spoke something which I should not have said. And it affected him, it gave a lot of sorrow to him. And then I say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I say, I didn't mean it. Well, if I didn't mean it, why did you say it? You don't have to say. It was there in the mind. And therefore, you just spoke it. Although you didn't mean it. But you must have meant it. Otherwise, you wouldn't even have thought about it. And then you would not have spoken about it. But you speak and then say, I'm sorry. Now, very often we do that. Why do you have to say sorry? Why not think beforehand what the consequence would be? So here, soul consciousness works. I am the soul. I am the master of my senses. Now I am looking. One is looking and the other word in English is seeing. I am seeing everything. I can see everyone. My eyes are perfect. I can see everyone. But I'm not looking in particularly, because I see in general everyone is a soul, a sparkling soul sitting in his forehead. Similarly, hearing and listening. You hear so many sounds, but you don't pay attention. But then you're listening to something. Oh, what is he saying? So in this way, my eyes, my ears, they are just aids to me, you know, helping the soul. But if I don't want to see, I cannot see even if I'm able to see. Because the mind is not attentive towards it. I don't want to hear, I don't have to hear. The mind is not attentive towards it. It's up to me, I'm the master of my senses. I can't blame the senses, I can't say, I don't know why I said this. I should not have said it. But it is you who said it, how can you say, I don't know why? You're the master, no? How can your servant go against you and say something which you didn't want to say? You slap someone and then say, oh, I didn't really want to, I don't know why I slapped you. But then, when I'm soul conscious, I realize that these physical organs of mine, they are under my control. I am their master. This hand is not for slapping someone. But this hand is for blessing everyone. You know, blessing, this is a hand of blessing. Even this is the hand of blessing. And it means giving. Giving, this is also giving. This is also giving. You know, we take blessings and then how we are blessed that they put the higher person will put a hand on my head and say, you are blessed. And then this also is a hand of giving. Giving like this, no? Shivani was saying, not like this, but like this. So, this hand is not meant for beating someone, but this hand is for giving, for blessing. So if I think in this way, so this hand is not for actually wanting, but it is giving. And therefore when I think in this way, my hands become lotus hands. My eyes become like lotus eyes. We say lotus eyes. Just as a lotus grows in a muddy pond, that pond where the lotus flower grows is so muddy, so dirty. But the lotus is above that dirt. So my sense organs become lotus-like. My words are words of wisdom. My eyes, they are giving happiness to all. Actually, all the five senses, they can give happiness and they can also give sorrow. But the master is me, the soul. If I take it in details, first of all, these eyes. It is said that face is index of the mind. Face is index of the mind. But face, in that face is the eyes, which are the real index of the mind. If inside I have anger, first this anger will be released to the eyes. So angry I'll make my eyes very large in anger. So anger is exposed through the eyes. And then greed is exposed through the tongue. This tongue wants taste. So greed, I say greed. And very often people say that the tongue and the stomach, they're always clash. There's a clash between the two. What the tongue likes, the stomach doesn't like. We go for taste without realizing whether it is good for the stomach or not. And what the stomach likes, that the tongue does not like because it's not tasty. So there is a battle between the two. But whom do I have to satisfy? Is it just the tongue? Because the tongue, you know, has taste buds. But these taste buds are just up to the tongue, that's all. They're not inside. What is it? When the food is gone into the esophagus and then to the stomach, there's no taste there. It's just the tongue. So am I going to just satisfy my tongue, or am I going to satisfy my stomach? What is good for my health? So this tongue wants is like greed. So anger, greed, attachment, my nose. You know, when I'm attached to someone, oh, I want to cling to that person, smell that person. People like dogs, people like cats, how they cling to them. They catch hold of them so tightly, they, you know, they love their pets. It's okay, but then that smell they like, smell of any fragrance. So this attachment, nose. Ego, the ears. Somebody is speaking ill of me, immediately my ears wide open. Oh, he's talking against me. What is he saying? What does he mean? The ego. And lust, the skin. Skin. Attraction to the skin. Feeling of touch. That is also, it is a subtle part of lust. You go to a museum, and in the museum it's written everywhere, please don't touch, please don't touch. You know, it's written everywhere. And you read it also, please don't touch. But if something is left in the open, after reading too, you want to touch it. And some people, they are so used to it. Well, it's written, don't touch, but still you touch, because the attraction of the skin, the touch, that is attracts. That attracts. So this is the subtle part of lust, physical attraction. But and these vices, we call them lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, they are the cause of sinful actions. Somebody may question that, how do I know what is a sin and what is a virtue? What is a charitable act and what is a sinful act? It's very simple to understand. Any sinful act means something under the influence of any of these vices. Lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. And then along with these five vices come prejudice, hatred, jealousy, laziness and procrastination, all these come, vices come. And then we commit more and more sinful actions. So, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. So, any action committed under the influence of these vices becomes a sinful action. And that will result in the reaction, I will get it back. So when I'm soul conscious, I'm very, very aware that my karmas should not be based on these vices. I should not commit any action under the influence of anger. When you want to get angry, can you postpone that anger and say, okay, I'll get angry tomorrow? Can you? Those who think they can, raise your hand. Okay, I'll get angry tomorrow, not today. Who can do that? No? You'll get angry immediately? Yes, but when we are soul conscious, we can surely not allow anger to come. As you were told, I should not get angry. No, that's not what you should say. I am a peaceful soul. So when I say I'm a peaceful soul, your anger will finish. So whatever is wrong, try to postpone it. Don't do it immediately. Don't do it at that moment, because think of the consequences. And whatever is good, don't postpone it. Very often we do the opposite of it. Whatever is good, I'll do tomorrow, I'll do tomorrow, tomorrow. And what is bad, I do it spontaneously. Both are wrong. If you have done something wrong, and you know it is wrong, ask for pardon, ask for forgiveness immediately. Don't hide it. Some people hide it. Oh, nobody should know, no one should know. What will people say that I did this? No one should know. But when they do something good, they want to show the whole world, I did this, I did this, I did this. Karma philosophy says, if you do something wrong, tell it. At least that burden will forego. Otherwise, the soul, which is really a pure soul, will become, contaminated. And if you do something good, don't worry. You are going to get the good fruit of it. Your fruit is with you. They say, there's a saying, your fortune will always be with you. Nobody can snatch it away. You can't get it before time. And nobody can snatch anything from you if it's in your fortune. And therefore, you're accumulating fortune if you're doing something good. Don't worry about whether I'm getting the fruit now. That fruit is accumulating. In the Gita, it is very, very clearly written. Beautiful words. The Sanskrit is Karmane Vadhikaraste Ma Faleshu Kadachanam. To do actions, to perform actions is in your hand. Actions, the present is in your hand. Do the right action. But then surrender that to God. He will give you the fruit, don't worry. Many people, they write books and they dedicate those books in the name of the mother or father or teacher, whatever. They dedicate that, all the work they did, but they dedicate that work of theirs on someone else's name. So that's a great dedication. So don't think of the fruit. Never say, what am I going to get in return? Only if I know what I'm going to get, then I will give. No. So if you do something good and people start praising you, don't accept that praise. You say, well, I was only an instrument in God's hands and He got it done through me. It's not my achievement. God got it done through me. Because very often we work so hard for success, but we don't get success and then we get disheartened. And sometimes we hardly work and we get very good success, then we feel proud of ourselves. We should not be proud of ourselves in any way. If I don't get success, never mind, it's not maybe the right time. And therefore we have to console ourselves by saying that, I learnt a good lesson. So any failure is a pillar of success. You are going through a process. So don't be disheartened if it's a failure. But if there is success, don't accept that to the praise of it. Say it was God who was with me all the time and it is He who got it done. I was only an instrument. So soul consciousness and karma can go together. But if I am body conscious, then any action I'm performing will become a sinful act. Because that body consciousness will lead to evil, will lead to vices. All these vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, they are based on body consciousness. But if I'm able to change myself and say, I'm a soul, I'm a pure soul, I'm a peaceful soul, immediately I will become peaceful. Therefore, we were asked to say Om Shanti 3 times. Om, you know, the word Om comes, is a Sanskrit alphabet. It is 3 words in one word. Like this, and then like this, and then a moon on top, a dot. It is 3 alphabets. This is A, and U, and Ma. So A, O, Ma. A-U-M, you know, when you write in English also, we don't say O-M, but we say A-U-M, Om. You start from the mouth and then you go back in. You know, so I'm going to my own self. Who am I? A-U, A-Ma, that is me. So what is that which is me? Shanti, Shanti means peace. So what is that which is me? Om Shanti. And immediately you become peaceful. I am a peaceful soul. And then you say 3 times. 3 times. Our Dadi Janki, who was the administrative head of this organization, and she was instrumental for opening so many centers or in many countries, she used to say Om Shanti 3 times and then would say, who am I? Whom do I belong to? And what do I have to do? Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Who am I? And immediately the consciousness of the self as a soul would come. Whom do I belong to? Again, Om Shanti. So I am a peaceful soul and I belong to the ocean of peace, my Supreme Father, the ocean of peace. And what do I have to do? 3rd time, Om Shanti, I have to spread peace in the world. This is my aim. We have come into this world not just to eat, drink and be merry. We have not come for that. You know, many people, when we ask, why are we in this world? You know, they question, why did God send us into this world? God did not send us into this world to just eat, drink and be merry. No, no. He sent us with a great purpose. First, for 3 reasons why God sent us. One reason was, we souls are actors. As Shakespeare very rightly said, this world is a drama stage and we are all actors playing our respective roles. Each soul is an actor playing its respective role. I have to make sure that I play the right role. I don't have to see what others are doing. You know, when a play is going on a stage and there are some actors who are still not on the stage and they are in the green room, at that time they are memorizing their role, you know, their dialogue they have to speak. And everyone is memorizing his or her dialogue. At that time we don't interfere in somebody else's memory or memorization or dialogue, because they are doing their own. It's the director who has to decide whether the role is right or not, action is right or not. But I have to check my action, what I am doing, what I have to say, not what others should say. So I am paying attention to what I have to do. But if I start paying attention to others, what he should do, what he should do, I will forget my role. And therefore I am an actor on this world drama stage, playing. Each one is playing his respective role, and that he has to make sure that he plays the best role. It should be such a best role that everyone says, once more, you know. When somebody plays a very good role on the stage and people clap so loudly and say, once more. So my actions should be such that people not just applaud, but then they appreciate. And they say, once more. And not, please finish, and they clap, okay, close it. If it's boring, then they will not like it. So let me play my best role. So three reasons why I've come into this world. And because second, and actually every soul is an actor. Every soul has this specialities, personal trait of coming into action. And therefore it needs a stage, it needs a costume. And this world is a stage and I'm an actor having put on this costume. And these are my other, those my relatives, they are the other actors on this world drama stage. The second reason why I came into this world, to act according to my true innate qualities, I came to act for that. Somebody has a talent of dancing. Immediately that person will be so excited, so happy if someone tells them to dance. Someone has this art of singing, and when someone tells him to sing, he'll sing immediately. Because he has that art. Someone is an artist, and he will definitely want to paint or draw or whatever. It'll be so easy for him because he has that art. So every soul has an art of acting, and therefore the body is needed. If there's an artist, but an artist wants to paint, but he has no canvas, no paintbrush, no paints, nothing. How can he paint? He can't paint because all these things are also necessary. Therefore, this body is necessary for the soul to play its part. And the third reason why I am in this world, I have come here to give, not to get. To give. And we give the example of nature. Nature is always giving, always giving. A river does not drink its own water. A fruit laden with, a tree laden with fruits does not eat its own fruit. So it is growing fruits, but it is for others. The river is giving water for others. So if nature is doing that work of giving, and you know, in India we say that how every part of nature, it is like a god. Fire god, this god, that, you know, water is also god, Indra god. So, and because they're always giving. So if nature, who is subservient to us, is giving, we should be higher than them, we should be giving more and more. So we give to nature and then nature gives us an abundance. We sow only one seed and nature gives us 1,000 seeds. And therefore we say, I have to give. I came here in this world to give, not to take, because I brought nothing and I'm not going to take anything with me anyway. So I brought my fortune, and I will take back my karma. So I have to pay attention to that. So in practical life, we bring karma and soul consciousness together. I'm a soul, I see you as a soul. I'm working through these hands, and they are my servers, and these hands are meant to give. These eyes are meant to give. I'm meant to give. So there's never the thought of wanting, 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 no. Anyway, it is said there's everything for one's need, but not for one's greed. Because greed has no end. Endless desires. And we compare these desires to our shadow. You know, a shadow? If the light is behind, your shadow will be in the front. And if you go more and more away from the light, your shadow will become longer and longer. Try seeing it. Experiment upon it. Your shadow will become longer and longer if you are going against the light. But turn your back and go towards the light. Then your shadow will become shorter and shorter and shorter. And as you reach the light, your shadow will disappear. So your shadow is your desires. And there's no end to desires. But then that Through that, you are going away from the light, the God, the Supreme Father. You are going away from that Supreme Father and you are going towards your shadow, your desires, and there is no end. It will become longer and longer. But turn around and see the Supreme Being, that Supreme Light. And I am also a soul, a light. And immediately you will feel nothing is mine. Everything belongs here. What is really mine is my good karma, my good feelings, my good thoughts, my attitude, and that only will accompany me. So I pay attention to that. And when I pay attention to that, automatically all my actions will become righteous. Okay? Alright? So this is how you apply karma in soul and soul consciousness in practical life. Om Shanti, Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.